Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Oh, it's a Friday. How are you? We're fine. Thanks for asking. Live in Los Angeles, this is The Herd. Wherever you may be and however you may be listening, we're on Fox Sports Radio, iHeartRadio, and FS1. I said it 2 weeks ago. It's going to be my best Blazing Five of the year. I went 4-1. I stunk last week. I think I have the best Blazing Five I've had this year. Best Blazing Five this year in 1 hour. Joy Taylor is joining me. Joy, I've got a lot of energy.
You are fired up today.
I am fired up today for a lot of reasons, but how are things?
Everything is great. No complaints. Life is good.
So as a parent, there's a saying. And I want you to think about this. If you're not a parent, you may be. But as a parent, there is a saying. The days are long when you have kids, but the years fly by. What does that mean? When you got a bunch of kids, there's a lot of chaos. It's hard to raise kids. The days, what time is it? Can I have a cocktail yet? Oh, my God. But then you look up and they're in college. And then they have their own kids. The days are long, but the years fly by. In the NFL, the games and the outcomes are surprising. But the seasons are always kind of predictable. Last night, the Colts dominate Tennessee. And I thought, wow, that caught me off guard. And then I went and looked back at my preseason predictions. No, I had the Colts winning the division. And I had Phillip Rivers having a very good year. And he had a very good night. So it seems like, whoa, what is going on? But we knew the Colts had the best young offensive line in the NFL. We knew Phillip Rivers with the Chargers was always productive. We knew this would be Phillip Rivers' best offensive line. And we knew we love Chris Ballard, and the Colts are loaded on defense. They're loaded. They haven't whiffed on any of their draft picks of note. And then you watch it, and you're like, that's surprising. In fact, 5 of the 8 divisions I've got right. Even the ones I don't. Is it a shock that Green Bay leads their division? I had them in the playoffs. Is it a shock that Pittsburgh is good? Well, they're the Steelers, right? Like, I didn't like them as much as everybody else. There's very little. If you look at the standings today, Buffalo leads their division. All right, Joy and I predicted that. Pittsburgh, Baltimore in the playoffs. They've been the best two-run organizations in that division forever. Colts, Titans, that's who I had in first and second. Kansas City winning their division. You all predicted that, so did I. I picked the Eagles to win their division. That's where they're at. I had the Packers second, their first, not a shock. We all had the Saints and the Buccaneers 1 and 2. I did. Joy did. We all did. That's where it's at. And oh, by the way, the Seahawks lead the NFC West. We kind of liked all the teams. Nobody's shocked that Russell Wilson leads the division. The games are surprising, but the seasons are kind of predictable. But here's what's interesting with these two teams, the Colts. They are the Kansas City Chiefs. But that Midwestern team in conservative Kansas City went for it a few years ago. Kansas City was the Colts. Andy Reid, good GM, stable, longtime owner. Roster was really good. They were a playoff team. But they were in NFL quarterback quicksand. They had to go for it. They were too good to get a top 10 pick. So they had to move up and roll the dice and take a chance on Patrick Mahomes because they were too good to get one of the 2 or 3 top-rated quarterbacks, right? That's NFL quarterback quicksand. And their quarterback, like Phillip Rivers, Alex Smith, was good enough to get you to the playoffs, but you're not going to win a Super Bowl. So the Colts have a decision to make like another Midwestern team, and Chris Ballard is not a huge risk-taker. It's time to roll the dice, fellas. I know you're in the Midwest. It's very conservative, one of our most conservative states. So is, you know, Kansas City, Missouri, very conservative state. It's time to be progressive. It's time to roll the dice. Kansas City did. Paid off. Do you want to be the Minnesota Vikings? You want to be the Minnesota Vikings where you win 10 games, 11 games, you make the playoffs, you can win a playoff game, but you're too good. You're drafting somewhere between 21 and 29, and you can never quite get the quarterback you want. So you get Kirk Cousins, and you keep winning, and they'll probably end up, Minnesota's hot right now, they'll probably make the playoffs, and you're not going anywhere. What do you want to be? What do you want to be? The Colts are the Chiefs. They're going to make the playoffs. They have a really good roster, a lot of good young players, very dynamic at certain spots, but a ceiling at quarterback. Not a bad quarterback. A quarterback like last night, 29 of 39, 300 yards, 105 quarterback rating. But they got Quentin Nelson, the best offensive lineman in the game, young guy. They got Darius Leonard. How about Pittman, the USC wide receiver, looks good. Jonathan Taylor. Boy, they got a pass rush. What do you want to be? You want to be the Chiefs? Then work against your conservative personalities and go for it. Not a political statement. It's a personality statement. Go for it. Or you're going to be the Vikings. Respected, well-liked, win games, get to the playoffs. But nobody really takes you serious in the Super Bowl conversation. I think the Colts are that good. I think they're a go-for-it move at quarterback away, moving up from being Kansas City. I really do. So Tiger Woods had a great first round at the Masters. I root for Tiger now. I'm not going to lie. You know, it is funny. We're living in an era. We just want to bury the old guys. Nick Saban, get rid of him. He still rules college football. LeBron James just won a title. The number one seed in the AFC is Big Ben. The number one seed in the NFC is Drew Brees. And Tom Brady's still good. Oh, by the way, Tiger's in contention at the Masters. Think about this. In 2007, LeBron was in the finals, Brady in the Super Bowl, and Tiger won a major. 13 years later, LeBron won a championship, Tom Brady's still crushing, and Tiger's at the Masters in contention. I know old school isn't cool. I get it. But we should probably slow down on burying the old. By the way, the Democrats for 4 years paraded out a dozen candidates to beat Trump. They settled on 78-year-old Joe Biden, who did. Again, not a political statement. That's facts. The reality is the Beatles and Queen were two of the top 10 selling albums. Elton John was near the top 10. And oh, by the way, Metallica and the Rolling Stones, when they're allowed to tour, fill arenas. Tiger Woods, how many golfers was I told were going to be Tiger Woods? How many golfers? Jordan Spieth. Oh, it's got to be Tiger. Tiger, can he make the cut? He was Tiger for a year. Brooks Koepka, he's got four majors. Tiger's got four times that. Rory McIlroy, Sergio, he won one major recently when he was old. You keep telling me, oh, it's the young musician, the young golfer, the young artist. How many NBA players is the NBA going to try to make the next LeBron? One-dimensional James Harden, isn't it? Quirky personalities like Kawhi Leonard and Westbrook, they're not it. Talented, but can't win a number of playoff series. Giannis, isn't it? LeBron's still it. Oh, I love this new extra. She's the next Meryl Streep. No. The next Meryl Streep is Meryl Streep. She just got nominated again in 2018. There is no more Meryl Streeps. One on the planet. Great early, great mid-age, great now, great 2 years ago. Still will get nominated again in her career. You're trying to give me the next Jordan Spieth and James Harden and the new quarterbacks. I got news for you. Mahomes is amazing. He'll never be Brady. He's not going to 8 Super Bowls. Andy Reid's not going to be around that long. They may hire the next coach and he may be a bum. The Beatles, Queen, Metallica, no Meryl Streep. She's the next Meryl Streep. I love that Tiger once again is in contention. I saw somebody yesterday. Can he do it for 4 days? I don't know. Give me 3.5. I'll be happy. He won it a couple years ago. But I think it's just deliciously ironic that Jordan Spieth was going to be the next Tiger. He's not as good as the old beat-up Tiger. We want to bury people. And I got news for you. Experience and wisdom, sage knowledge in these big moments. It's there's a lot of things you can get when you're young. What you can't get when you're young is experience and wisdom. You just can't. You can go to Harvard. You can go to Princeton. You can travel the world. Wisdom comes with age. And I love that Saban and Big Ben and Drew Brees and Tom Brady and LeBron and Meryl Streep and Queen and Elton John and Metallica and the Rolling Stones, either the king or really close to it. All right, you know, I love Carson Wentz, but there is a criticism a GM leveled on him, not his own. and he's right, and there's nothing I can do about it, and it may be Carson Wentz's undoing, and I can't argue out of it. I can't argue out of it, and it worries me because I love Carson Wentz in Philadelphia.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
On the road a lot during the holidays, carshield.com, code Herd. This is funny. So in the summer, when we were all locked in our houses, we were making predictions, Joy, and I said that the Ravens are going to go 16-0.
Yes.
And there's a legendary place in Baltimore called Jimmy's Seafood. They do a really good job. It's all over the internet. And so they sent me this package. They like, hey, we thanks for loving the Ravens. And I was like, oh, that's so kind. Well, the food, it's amazing. I grew up on the beach, crab country in Washington State. So I devoured it for every meal for about 4 days. So the last 2 weeks I've been defending Lamar Jackson. And they just texted me, you want some more seafood? And I'm like, okay, at this point, I'm not sure if I like Lamar or the seafood. I think I, if I get free crab, I may just vote Lamar MVP. I mean, not that I don't like him, but
it's not a bad strategy.
I just want a full disclosure. I love Lamar, but seafood's got a way of changing my opinion. I want to say this. I love Carson Wentz. And I've said this over and over, and I defend him. And, you know, I kind of pick a side with quarterbacks. I think it's better as a talk show host to pick a side. You know, I'm not a Baker guy. I'm a Darnold guy. Maybe I'll be wrong. But Carson Wentz I really like. But I have to be honest, I like Garoppolo too, and then he got hurt again and again and again, and I'm out. I'm not going to be stubborn and rigid. Like, Garoppolo's not good enough to get hurt all the time. Aaron Rodgers is. Or Carson Wentz to me is. But there's a criticism about Carson Wentz here by an executive in the NFL. This is The Athletic. This is an offensive coordinator, my bad, in the NFL. He said, listen, Wentz needs to hit rock bottom because right now he doesn't know when to say when. Everything he's doing is trying to extend the play. Like, it's the last play of every game. They have all these coaches and analytic guys in Philadelphia, but there isn't anybody holding him accountable. He plays like the last play. Every play is the last play of the game. It is a totally just criticism. It is the knock on him I can't defend. But this quote implies that you could change Carson Wentz. And I want to throw this out. As a parent, this is something you talk about a lot as parents. What is innate and genetic with our kids, and what can you change? I send my kids to therapy. I don't think I'm changing them. My son's impatient. My daughter's more patient. My daughter's more social. My son's less social. It's who they are genetically. My son's more like me. My daughter's more like her mom. Okay. I don't know if you can change reckless. Phil Mickelson has golfed the same way from 20 to 50. It's who he is. Brett Favre, first year in the league last year, last pass in Minnesota. It's who he is. Russell Westbrook. He's been coached by great coaches. This is how he plays. I love Sam Darnold, but he was a linebacker in high school. He's still reckless. That was the knock on him in high school. He's reckless. It was the knock at USC. It's hero ball. It's the knock in the NFL. He's had seven different coaches. They can't coach it out of him. There are things we know due to studies, your IQ can be raised over your life. You read more, you travel more. Your IQ can be elevated. You don't have to be somebody that would ace Jeopardy, but you can get smarter over a lifetime. We know you can change your body, your shape with your diet and exercise. But I've never met anybody in my life who was reckless at 24 and cautious at 34. It's like innate. It's like either you're social, my daughter's social, or you're less social, like my son. They can both, you know, he can be social, but he's not a social animal. My daughter is. She's never going to be a recluse. He's never going to be the life of the party. This is who they are. I'm not going to try and change them. I think what makes Darnold and what makes Wentz special is they can make plays almost nobody can. Mahomes is also at times really a gambler. But unlike Favre, he doesn't throw interceptions. That's what the legends do. They give you all the upside and not much of the downside. This quote by the offensive coordinator implies you can change Carson Wentz by just tutoring him. No, you can make him better at the line of scrimmage. If you didn't like his delivery, you could change it a little bit, but Phillip Rivers still throws like Phillip Rivers throws. There are things Russell Wilson and Kyler Murray are getting better at. But when you got the reckless DNA, Favre is Favre, Mickelson's Mickelson, Westbrook's Westbrook. Wentz is Wentz. To me, it's kind of innate. It's who you are, and I don't think it can be coached out of you. Nobody goes from daring to cautious in life, in any business. I've never seen it. Maybe it's there. I've never seen it. Joy with the news.
No.
Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
What's something you've changed?
That's a good question. I've tried. I'm a way better listener today than I was 20 years ago.
I take advice now. I never used to take advice.
Yeah, you apparently were a tyrant, according to you.
I mean, you know, I just like to
you almost apologize.
Life.
You almost apologize. I gotta be honest with you. I didn't listen to anybody in my 20s. I think I'm a much better listener.
Yeah, now. At 25, I started taking advice. It served me well, so I take advice now. If I know it's coming from a good source.
There's only a few of those. Yeah. But when it's the good source, I'll listen.
It is. So it's a rookie quarterback matchup between Justin Herbert and Tua on Sunday.
Cannot wait.
The two were picked back-to-back as the fifth and sixth picks in this year's draft, but neither of them are focusing on a budding rivalry.
I have no animosity towards Justin Herbert. And for me, it's not even a competition between me and him. It's a competition for myself to go out and, you know, see what I can do to help our team be successful against their defense. You know, and I'm pretty sure it's the same for Justin as well.
He's had so much success over the past couple of years that, you know, it's been great to watch him and all the things he's done. So really looking forward to playing against him this week and saying hi.
Now, you know, neither of them are going to say anything
right.
Billboard
but
material.
I will say this, though. So let's just talk Burrow, Tua, and Justin Herbert.
Yeah.
And this is something you and I have talked about. How lucky are we as American sports fans? They're all wonderful guys. We are so lucky right now. If you go around looking, I don't know Patrick Mahomes, but I bumped into him a couple times. He's one of the most low-key great kids. We could have a bunch of schmucks running these franchises. You could have a bunch of egomaniacs. Once again, three more quarterbacks come into the NFL, and they're like the nicest guy. Joe Burrow, I rip him. He follows me on Twitter. He's up for it. He's fun. Like, we're very lucky right now in America that the best NBA players are mostly, some are quirky, but likable guys. They stay out of trouble. And our NFL quarterbacks coming in, name me the bad kid. I mean, Baker's not even a bad guy. He just drives me nuts.
I mean, it's not very good for, you know, rivalries because they're not going to say anything. It's like, how could you hate Justin Herbert? I mean, how can you hate the Chargers anyway? I've never met anyone who's like, I hate the Chargers.
Is it like this, though? Years ago, Michael Jordan, the financial pie, was not as robust. So you were fighting for money. Everybody gets paid now.
But it was also just a difference. It was a different era. There was just more natural animosity. I think there's a lot of factors that play into this.
Yeah.
We were talking the other day, and I saw this coming a few years ago. When you have the ticket and you have these game passes where you can watch teams from anywhere in the country and you don't have to watch whatever games on TV that night, like you have an expanded fandom really across the whole world.
Yeah, you like a bunch of players.
Yeah, so it's become more of like liking players than teams.
Right.
And that's led to a whole different kind of culture altogether, which allows more personalities, which I like. But
I never thought about that. It's a good point. Like you used to like your team and everybody else was the enemy.
Yeah.
And now you can like Westbrook and you can like...
You can watch any team, any night, anywhere in the country.
And you get emotionally connected to guys if you watch them over and over and over.
Yeah, and LeBron was a big part of that as well. I'm really excited for this game. And look, like Tua, Justin Herbert, and Joe Burrow are going to get compared to each other for the rest of their careers because that's how it goes. Like whoever's in your draft class at your position, you get compared to, and that's what we're going to do. And I actually think, and we've talked about this as well, Justin Herbert is a big reason why Tua's out there because he got out there right away and was productive and successful as far as the numbers go. Obviously, they're in different situations, got to close out some games, but they're just going to get compared. This is going to be a fun game. Dolphins are favored by 2, according to Fox Bet.
I like the Dolphins this weekend.
Yes. So Derek Carr is playing some of his best football this season, but he still has his doubters. The Athletic's Mike Sando revisited his preseason quarterback tiers, where Carr was ranked 20th. But one defensive coach who's faced Carr this year still isn't buying into the Raiders quarterback. He said, the thing I got from playing against him was he's in year 3 of Gruden's offense, so you can see him operate. Dak Prescott made a similar jump. He showed he can solve things at the line of scrimmage, get them in the right plays. I feel like Carr is doing the same thing, but if you can get to Carr, he's not the same guy.
Most quarterbacks aren't. Nobody wants to get hit.
Yeah, I don't... that's kind of like a weird evaluation. Like, oh, if you're constantly hitting Carr, he's not going to do well. Yeah. That's what, which, who does well getting hit? Or if someone has perfect protection, they're very productive. Yeah, of course.
I mean, Jared Goff's a different quarterback. Jared Goff in his career is 24-5 when he is sacked once or not sacked at all. He's essentially better than Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers. So when you don't get to Jared Goff, he wins every week. And when you get to him, he's not the same quarterback.
Well, look who you were talking about at the beginning of the show. Phillip Rivers did not have an offensive line. It was basically me blocking.
Yeah.
No, that's an exaggeration. I'm sorry. But, not a great offensive line last
night. He's got a great one.
Great offensive line, and now he's productive, and he's able to do what Phillip Rivers does. He's still not a mobile quarterback. He's not going to do anything spectacular, but he's in his 17th year. He can make great decisions and win the game. So Cam Newton and Lamar Jackson will face off Sunday night in Foxborough, and ahead of their primetime matchup, Cam praised the talents of the reigning MVP.
Man, my boy, Lamar got a gear not many human beings got. You know, I say Michael Vick, I say Lamar. I don't even think I'm in that stratosphere. But for him to be as dominant, dynamic, explosive at the quarterback position is something that, you know, just gives so much opportunity to the younger generation.
Well, I put Kyler in that too. Yeah.
Yeah, I think Kyler is not really being put in that category. I feel like after this year, he will be, though.
Well, Michael Vick and Lamar, the one thing I would say, their straight line speed is as good as a receiver, where Kyler is really shifty and fast. But, I mean, when Michael Vick broke into the league, I can remember this. I remember watching a broadcast, and the broadcaster said he's the second fastest guy in the Falcons to Allen Rossum, who was a punt returner from Notre Dame. And I'm like, he's faster than all the receivers? I think Lamar is probably the first or second fastest Baltimore Raven. So, I mean... Cam was never that kind of fast. Cam was fast.
But Cam is just a physically dominant human being. Like, he's just so big, he could break tackles and also run. But could you imagine if Michael Vick was coming into the league right now?
Well, he would be.
I mean, he was ahead of his time.
Yeah, and I also think Michael would have had better high school and 7-on-7 coaching.
Yeah.
So Michael would have been...
He'd have
been
more developed.
Thing, way more developed. Michael would have been better sooner. Whereas Michael admits it's like year three, he was finally like, he didn't start when he came into the league.
Yeah.
So, I mean, Michael would be much ahead of the game, above the shoulders, where all these guys are getting coaching now. I mean, high school quarterbacks now, like, go to the line and audible in and out of plays. Like, at the top high schools, like, it's grown-up football in high school.
But we also appreciate the mobile quarterback now. We're not looking for just traditional pocket passers.
Yeah. Joy with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Lie News.
Eric Mangini, NFL coach, Jets and Browns, Fox Sports NFL analyst. Love having him on. Brought to you by Mercedes-Benz, the best or nothing. Speaking of quarterbacks, I want your opinion on Tua. Got to be honest, I was worried after the Rams game. It's early, but I thought he was twitchy and I mean, I knew he was accurate. He's been accurate every... I saw his high school footage. Accuracy is not my concern, but... I got to be honest with you. He made a lot of quick decisions in the red zone. He was better than I thought. I didn't know if he had that in him. What did you think?
Yeah, all along, we talked about it a few weeks ago. I didn't know if his start was a function of that being part of the plan or the success that Herbert had had and organizationally they were pushing him in. Then you watch the first game, and you've got some real concerns because it was a fairly pedestrian performance. But watching this past game... What you're excited about if you're a Miami Dolphins fan is the poise that he had and the presence that he had. The Cardinals brought not only a volume of blitzes, but they brought a variety of blitzes. And he did a really good job of identifying what was coming and getting the ball to the right place. And then, as you said, he throws an extremely catchable ball.
Yeah.
Thought his placement was very good. But outside of all of those things, you could see that Arizona was saying, okay, we're going to test how good this guy can decipher what we're bringing. And he did an outstanding job with that.
You know, this Carson Wentz, a coordinator, came out and said he's too reckless. Every play is the last play. And this is an interesting question for you because you briefly had Brett Favre. And I said, there's a lot of things you can elevate a player in. But a quarter, Phil Mickelson has always been reckless as a golfer, and he was reckless at 18. He's reckless now, despite the money, the earnings. Brett Favre in Minnesota, it never changed. It's who he is. And my question with Wentz is, he is reckless. Sam Darnold's reckless. I've never seen a quarterback go from reckless to cautious. Like, this is how Jameis plays, right? Like, you're a coach. Have you seen quarterbacks be reckless, and then 4 years later, they're very smart, they don't make mistakes?
Yeah, I had those conversations with Brett Favre, and this was at the end of his career, just trying to say every single throw doesn't have to be, you know, inside of a tight window, and it's okay to throw the ball away. But it's hard for me to put Carson Wentz in Brett Favre's category. And I think some of this criticism that's coming this year is a little bit unfair. And when you look at his body of work, he's thrown almost three times as many touchdowns and interceptions over the last 3 years. And this year it's more of a 50-50 situation, but it's dramatically different in terms of what he's dealing with. He's at a game where he's been sacked eight times. He's at a game where he's been sacked six times. And I think Carson, why you love him is, and especially you, Colin, I know you love him fiercely, is because of his grittiness, because of the chances that he takes, and he makes some plays with that, and he makes some really good plays, but it feels like he's pushing a little bit too hard right now.
Yeah.
And that's where the volume of mistakes come in. Now, my fear with Carson Wentz isn't the interceptions, it's holding the ball too long, and it's whether or not he can survive the season because he takes hits, and I've said this since his rookie season, he takes hits that he doesn't need to take. He doesn't need to get hit for a 3 or 4 yard gain. That part has got to be improved. Otherwise, it won't matter. He just won't be on the field.
You know, so I said it this week, and it was speculation by me, but I said Belichick will probably end up winning 5 games this year, and that means they're not going to get a top 10 pick. They'll probably be 10 or 11 or something. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe they will. But Belichick, I've never said tanking, but he's too smart to want to be 8-8, 9-7, and 10-6, but not have a quarterback. And I don't see the solution at quarterback. I don't think it's Cam. I don't think it's Garoppolo. And I don't think he's getting one of the three college guys. Wouldn't it be easier to just do a Coughlin and Parcells, go down to the Sun in Jacksonville and get Justin Fields, or go to Los Angeles with the Chargers if Anthony Lynn gets booted and take Justin Herbert? Brady left and it shocked all of us. Why couldn't Bill Belichick leave New England and make his life easier for the next 5 years?
Well, I think he loves New England. I know he loves New England. He's got a house in Nantucket. And what do you hear from Tom Brady now as he talks about his new situation? He talks about the fact that they're struggling because there's not continuity. Bill has continuity. Bill has two of his kids that are working with him. He grows his own coaches. He's got the organization, you know, the support staff, the scouting staff, all those different areas. Take your pick. They know what to expect. And that continuity goes a long way. He's down a little bit this year. And the whole idea of tanking that was talked about last week, you can tell by the happiness that they had in beating the Jets. This is far from a team that's tanking. But I also think he values Robert Kraft. Robert Kraft traded a first-round draft pick for him when he had one winning season as a head coach. He made an incredible investment and a great investment, and their working relationship, which sometimes is characterized as being a little bit contentious, I don't think that. I think there's great mutual respect, and it's not every owner is like that. Robert Kraft is unique in a lot of ways.
Yeah. So it's interesting. I want to talk about the Pittsburgh Steelers, who are better than I thought, but it's never easy. I mean, they struggle with the Cowboys. They struggle with Houston. And I look at this team. If you coach the Steelers, there's obviously things you have to love. I mean, they develop players. The defense is exceptional. TJ Watt, like, we all know that. But would it concern you that they can't really bury anybody? And when you get to the playoffs, those close wins very easily when you're facing a Mahomes or a Derek Carr or a Lamar Jackson, you know, or a Josh Allen. Would it concern you with Pittsburgh that they don't really put their foot down on teams and every game is seemingly up for grabs with 5 minutes left?
Well, when they lost, or when they beat Baltimore and they beat them the way that they did and they played as poorly as they did, I thought that was a really good indication. And I know it's a strange metric, that said how good a team they were, to find a way to beat a good team when they played as poorly as they did. Now, that being said, to come back the next week against Dallas and have it come down to the final 2 minutes before you can win that game, that to me, you start getting a little bit concerned about the trend of not playing as well as they should have over the last few weeks. It's hard to criticize a team that wins and wins consistently, and maybe it's not pretty, but you know, you do have some concerns about the way they've struggled. To me, the way they've struggled over the last couple weeks is problematic. And now they're playing a Cincinnati team with Ben's got two bad knees. He's been out all week in COVID protocol. Who knows what that's going to look like?
By the way, Colts-Titans wasn't the most riveting game, but we have a three-week stretch now where the Titans are kind of a mess. Their special teams are bad. They've got no pass rush. And it kind of feel, you know, I really like a lot about them, but I wake up this morning and I think, did they get lightning in a bottle at the end of last year? Schedule, they won some close games early this year, but they've been exposed by week 7, 8, 9, 10. You get exposed in this league, and the Titans are just, it was a fun ride while it lasted, but they're just not special.
Well, I would have said that's true if they had been exposed defensively or had been exposed offensively, but that game they lost in a way that they typically win games, you know, to have the great fourth down stop that they did, and then the punter shanks the punt, the Colts come down and score, and then the next play, the punt's blocked. That's kind of the way that the Titans have won games. And I have a lot of respect for Mike Vrabel. I coached him. He's arguably one of the smartest guys I've ever coached, and his recall of defenses and things we did over time was impressive. And he's going to figure out a way to maximize what they do have, like he did last season. And I know it's got to kill him to lose on special teams, because that's how he started. He was a special teams player that we brought in from the Steelers. I think that he'll get this straightened out, and he'll maximize the talent that they have. And, you know, it's also a Thursday night game. There's a limited amount of preparation that goes into it. This will look a lot different in 2 weeks when these two guys play again.
Good seeing you, Coach. Eric Mangini, have a nice weekend.
All right, you too, Colin.
Best Blazing 5 picks of the year, top of the hour, plus coming up next. Why do we like Michael and Tiger more at the end of their careers than we do LeBron James? I think that's true, and I'll tell you why coming up next.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Upgrade to wiper blades you can trust in lousy weather. Michelin Endurance XT silicone wiper blades. Get them at Walmart. Only place lasts two times longer than other blades. I talk about this all the time. People don't like change. Like, I don't like change. I don't like change. I don't like wearing masks. I mean, I don't like it, but I think it's going to become kind of a part of our lives, maybe going forward for a while. But I don't like wearing masks either, but I do. Prime example, I was talking to my wife about something a couple days ago. When seatbelts came out, what about my freedom? They'll ruin your organs. People said that. We fought seatbelts for a decade. Now you're an idiot if you don't wear them. Nobody likes masks. Just wear them. We're going to the winter. Wear them. Save some lives, okay? I don't like them either. Nobody likes them. Everybody, go back to the beginning of seatbelts. People said it was going to ruin your organs. I'm not joking. They said that. People fought them for 10 years. My freedoms, my liberties, my car. You can't tell me. Don't be an idiot. Put on a seatbelt.
Do you see this face?
Yeah.
Do you think I want to cover this up?
Moneymaker!
I mean, it should be a crime. But I do it, so.
Look at the camera right now. Have you ever had a pimple?
Yeah, I have one right now, actually.
It's disturbing.
I have one, and we were talking about in hair and makeup. I was going to do the Marilyn Monroe thing.
Make it a mole?
That's a girl's trick. Yeah, we just make it a little mole, but if it's
TV,
so they'll notice.
Yeah, we just pick it as guys. I was saying this. LeBron James is great, but I don't feel he's as loved as Michael Jordan was, and I don't feel he is as loved as Tiger is today. And I think he's more polarizing, and people say it's politics. Oh, give me a break. We've liked a lot of people that talk. Muhammad Ali was the biggest, most popular athlete perhaps in my life, and he's the most political athlete of my life. I don't buy all that stuff. I think what Michael Jordan and Tiger Woods, it's Masters Week, Tiger played very well yesterday, have in common is, at the end of their careers, they became closer to us. They became relatable. Michael Jordan, dad gets murdered. He goes and tries baseball, and he stinks, mostly. He comes back and he's got teammate issues. His first year back, he didn't win. And then we watched him struggle. And then Michael was great. And you say, oh, how could I relate to him? But he was never relatable. Do you realize he had two three-peats? The second three-peat for Michael Jordan got much higher ratings than the first. Did you know that? And that's playing the Utah Jazz. It got higher ratings than when he played against Magic or Charles Barkley. Because we could relate to Michael. The fever, his father, the baseball struggles. He quit trying. Look at Tiger Woods. If you look at Tiger Woods, we were in awe of him, but we didn't necessarily all root for him. And then he goes through a divorce. He's very much like the rest of us over 50. His back hurts a lot. His hair is receding. He has really bad days on the golf course. He probably swears too much when he hits a bad 2-iron. You know, and he's divorced. And doesn't probably get to see his kids every weekend like he wants to. Like, that's very relatable. Michael and Tiger, as they went through kind of common everyday struggles, at the end, Michael's highest rated NBA final was not against Magic. It wasn't. It wasn't against Sean Kemp and Gary Payton. It wasn't against it was against the Utah Jazz. Because by then we knew Michael. We knew that his life wasn't perfect. We knew he couldn't hit a curveball. We watched him struggle in the minor leagues. We watched him hit 200. We saw the massive. We saw him bury his father. We saw the frustrations he had with Rodman and Jerry Krause, that he just wanted. He wanted to play again and he had to quit. We really liked Michael at the end. We were really rooting for Michael. And I find myself today rooting for Tiger Woods. When I watched him at first, I loved him, but I was just in awe of him. I was in awe. But at the end, I can remember watching the Utah series, and it was hard not to root for Michael. And right now, this weekend, it's almost impossible not to root for Tiger Woods. I get people that don't root for LeBron. He feels, frankly, not that relatable. I mean, he got kind of injured for half a year. But if you go back and look at the highest rated LeBron finals, do you know which one it is? It's not those glamorous teams in Miami. No, 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 no. No, it's not. It's Cleveland. He broke the city's heart. He wanted to make amends. Nothing in Cleveland is ever easy. Even the summer's humid. Nothing's easy. He was the underdog. They trailed in the series. The ultimate struggle. We all dumped on him. He's down. It's over. He was facing a dynasty. That was when you could really relate to LeBron. He's in Cleveland. It wasn't a perfect team. His teammate, he didn't have the superstar coach. He didn't have D-Wade and Bosch. It wasn't a glamorous team. It wasn't aqua water. It was Cleveland, and it was facing a dynasty. And they got down 3-1, and he was going to lose again. It's like, oh, okay, I can relate to that. And so there is something, you know, I guess my point is, if you're I think the guy that just won the presidency, he lost his family. He's had, Joe Biden has had massive personal loss, like incredible, sad, personal, life-altering loss. I think that's incredibly relatable to people. And I think it is with Tiger Woods. I can remember I was a sportscaster in Portland, Oregon, and Tiger was winning juniors. I think he won one of his juniors in Beaverton, Oregon. And there was a lot of resentment. And people felt it was always racial, but maybe some of it was. Some of it was generational. Like, why are we showing the 18-year-old instead of the old golfers that have been on tour forever? I want to see Greg Norman. I want to see Faldo or whoever. And I would go golf at public courses, and people would say, you sportscasters only talk about Tiger. And it was like, there's so many great golfers out there. Why are you talking about golf? And I'm like, I got it. It was generational. It was like, golf is a gentleman's sport. Let's not just bury all the, you know, let's not stop talking old guys. But it's almost impossible to find people today. I mean, if you go back to Tiger Woods' last win at the Masters, I mean, you look at that gallery. I mean, there wasn't a person there in Augusta, Georgia that was not rooting for Tiger Woods, because we've seen him struggle. And the receding hairline and the back pain and the divorce and, you know, it's over and the multiple surgeries. And I think it makes him incredibly relatable. And I'm rooting for him this weekend. I can like Dustin Johnson, Brooks Koepka. I can like him. But they're young. They'll have their day. For Tiger, this could be one of his last chances at a major. Who knows? Blazing 5 next.